All right, let's look at this scripture again. 1 John 4. And John says, beloved, he addresses those who are loved of God. They're not just beloved to him, they're beloved to God. Like the Apostle Paul said over there in 2 Thessalonians, I'll read it to you. He said, I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're beloved of the Lord. And he tells us here, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every person, preacher, who says that he's speaking for God, that he is speaking by the power of the Spirit of God. Because he says there are many false preachers gone out into the world. Many. The Apostle Peter, back here in 2 Peter, said in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 2 of 2 Peter, he says they were false prophets, false preachers among the people of Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And they privately bring in damnable heresies. They even deny the Lord that bought them. They're false preachers among Israel. They're false preachers today. And this is what John's warning us about. He said, don't believe everybody who says that they represent God or they're preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. But he said, try the spirits. Try them. How do you try them? You try them by the Word of God. That's how you try them. Try them with the Scriptures. Isaiah said, if they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because there's no light in them. Well, verse 2, he says, now hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's the way that you can tell a true preacher who's speaking by the power of God's Spirit. Every spirit that confesseth boldly, publicly, plainly defines who Christ is, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. He will preach that Jesus Christ came into the world, but he existed before he came into the world. You and I were born flesh, but we didn't come into the world. Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ, our Lord, existed before he came in human flesh. He is the Son of God. He's one with the Father. He's one with Almighty God. He's the Creator. This is what Micah said over here. Don't you turn to it. I'll turn and read it quickly. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. When the prophet Micah was talking about the birth of the Messiah, he's talking about Bethlehem, where he would be born. He says, but Bethlehem, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, your little town among the thousands of big cities and towns, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler, the Messiah, the Christ in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This one who's born in Bethlehem of Mary, the virgin, laid in a manger. This child given, this child born is a son given, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's what we're saying. If a person does not confess boldly, plainly, clearly, so that not to be understood. But that is not just a baby. That's the God-man. That's not just a a child born. It is, but it's not. It's God Almighty Himself who has prepared a body. And He has come down from glory and entered that body. And He's God Almighty. You preach that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, is God in human flesh, the Son of God. He'll preach that Jesus is really a man. He's really a man. He became a man. He is a man of flesh and bones and blood, tempted in all points as we are. He is a man as if He is not God, but He is Almighty God as if He is not a man. That's right. And that Paul calls that, he said, without controversy. He calls that a great mystery. This is a great mystery. God was manifested in the flesh. Seen of the angels. The angels announced everything He did. There weren't any angels making announcements when you and I were born. But when Christ was born, God sent a legion of angels down here to announce, unto you is born this day in the city of David, Christ the Lord. And no stars hung over the hospital in Alabama where I was born. But one hung over this manger and pointed the wise men to that babe. That's right. The angels announced everything He did. When He was tempted in the on the Mount of Temptation, they came and gave Him something to eat. Ministered to Him. He fasted 40 days. They announced His resurrection. They announced His second coming. Seen of the angels. Vindicated by the Spirit. Preached to the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into heaven. This is God. God became a man. Jesus of Nazareth is a man. Prophet, priest, and king. But He's none other than, listen, God Almighty Himself. So much that He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen God. If you believe on Me, you believe you have God. If you don't believe on Me, you die in your sins. If you don't believe I'm God. Now, the man who preaches this is telling the truth. He's telling the truth. And he's preaching by the power of the Spirit of God. He confesses it boldly and plainly. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government of the universe is on His shoulders. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without His permission. Not a hair falls out of your head, but He numbers. Not a leaf falls from a tree without His power. Not a fish swims in the ocean, but He didn't put that. The government's on His shoulders. And His name, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Boldly. People say, well, the fellow preacher says some good things. Does he say that? It's not what he says, it's what he doesn't say. Silence, somebody says, is golden. Not where this is concerned. Silence is cowardice where this is concerned. Silence is denial when you come to this. Silence is compromise. Silence is hypocrisy. Silence is covetousness. I want everybody here, every child, mother, dad, everybody here to know one thing. That this preacher preaches and believes and is convinced and confident that Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty. That's right. But he says in verse 3, the fellow that doesn't confess it. And that's the reason I say it's not. Silence won't do now. It won't make it. I know, but people, you got to say what folks can understand. No, I don't either. I have to say what God says and pray God give them understanding. That's not it at all. But the man that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's not of God. I don't care how much good works he does, how sweet he sounds, how tender he is, how loving he is, how much good works he performs for the community. It doesn't matter. If he doesn't tell the truth about Christ, he's a liar, he's an imposter, he's a false prophet, he's a false preacher. Don't hear him. That's what this says. He's not of God. Yeah, but he went to the seminary. He's still not of God. Yeah, but he's just such a fine man. He's not of God. Every spirit that confesseth not openly, publicly, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh is not of God, regardless of what his credentials are. He's not of God. He's not of God. But I go a little stronger, John says. He's an antichrist. He's an antichrist. He's not of God. And he's an antichrist. He speaks with another spirit. What is an antichrist? 1 John 2, back just a little bit. Little children, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it's the last time. These are the last days. We've been in the last days since our Lord was crucified. It's the last time. It's the last days. You've heard how the antichrist. What is an antichrist? It's opposed to Christ. It's the enemy of Christ. It's satanic. An antichrist is against Christ. Our Lord says, you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering abroad. No middle ground. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Is he Joseph's son? Is he Mary's son? God's son. In a sense that nobody's God's son. He's the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God's love. He is God, one with the Father. And this man is an antichrist. I tell you, little children, it's the last time you've heard the antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many antichrists. Where are they? In the pulpit. Where does the antichrist operate? In the pulpit. That's where he can do the most damage. Whereby you know it's the last time. Well, how do you know who an antichrist is? He's a man that does not boldly own, regardless of what it cost him, or what price he has to pay. He does not boldly. He confesses not. He may be silent about it. He may preach a thousand other things. But if you're not at the place in the battle where the honor of God is being attacked, you're not in the fight. If you're not at the place where the honor of God and the character of Christ and the truth of how God saves sinners is being assaulted by Satan, you're back at the chuck wagon. You're not at the fight. We got to tell who Christ is. That's the whole thing. Who is he? Who is he? What did he do? What he did, it depends on who he is. Why did he do it? Because God sent him. Where is he now? The right hand of God. He's an antichrist, and he's already in the world. Colossians chapter 2. Let's turn over there a minute. Colossians chapter 2. Paul sounds this note so clearly. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. Let's look at that. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. This spirit of Antichrist is against the Redeemer, denies his deity, denies his offices, denies his effectual work. Now here Paul clears it up for us. Colossians 2:9. For in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's he saying there? He's saying God, who's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, God who created the world, God who is before all things, God who is I am, he dwells in Jesus Christ. And he dwells in Jesus Christ in all the perfections of his deity. To see Christ is to see God. To hear Christ is to hear God. To deny Christ is to deny God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness, the perfections, the nature of God, bodily, in a human body. And you are complete in Him. You who believe, you who are in Christ, because He has all fullness, and He fulfills all things, because you dwell in Him, then you're filled full in Him. You have all things. You're in Christ, and all the fullness in Christ is yours too. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Him. And because we're in Him, you're complete. Something is complete, needs nothing added. It's complete. And then it tells us this about it. In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of God, all the perfections of God, all the nature of God, all the power of God, all the purpose of God, everything pertaining to God's in Jesus Christ. And you're complete in Him. All things are fulfilled for you. And He's the head. He's the head of all principality and all power. I know He's the head of the church. But from Him comes all light, all life, all grace, all love. He's the Lord. He's the head. He's the King of all others. He's the Lord of all devils and demons, all principalities and powers. There is no power but of Christ. He's the head of all demons and devils. He's the head of all angels, good and bad. He's the head of all kings of the earth of all times. He's the head of all flesh. He's the Lord. He prayed in John 17. He said, "My Father, you have given me authority over all flesh." There's not anything that wiggles or writhes or moves. All flesh, bird flesh, fish flesh, beast flesh, man flesh. All flesh. When our Lord told His disciples to go pay tribute to Caesar, He said, "Go down and catch a fish and you'll find the money in its mouth." How many fish do you reckon is in that sea? How many fish do you reckon is in that sea? Well, I don't know. But I know every one of them was obeying their master. And they swam away and let this fellow get through so Peter could catch him. That's right. My Lord is the Lord of all things. You've given me power over all flesh. This is what the Antichrist preachers oppose. The authority, the power, the character, the person, the effectual work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. Turn to Revelation 1. I'll show you another scripture. It tells us who He is. Look at Revelation 1. Listen to this. Revelation 1, verse 4. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, which is to come. And from the seven spirits," that's the Holy Spirit, "before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, prophet, the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince. He's the King of kings. He's the King of all kings of the earth. Unto Him who loved us, He washed us from our sins in His own blood. He made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. And to Him be all the glory, all the dominion, the rule, the reign, the power, forever and ever. Amen." That's who He is. That's who He is. Now back to my text, 1 John 4. And He tells us, now don't believe everybody that comes in the name of God, but try the spirits. You try them by the word of God. And here's the supreme test. What do they preach about the Lord Jesus Christ? And then He tells us in verse 4, look at this, He comforts the believers. He says, "You are of God, little children, do you believe the gospel? Do you? I do. Do you believe that, what I've said about Christ? I do. So strong, I don't know how to make it stronger. I believe him. Then you're born of God. Look down at 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, and all that said of the Christ, he's born of God. That's what our Lord said to Peter. Who do you say I am, Peter? Who do people say I am? Well, that people say you're a good man, you're a good prophet, you're a great man. You're like Mohammed or Buddha or Confucius. You're just a great man. That's what people say today. He's a great man. He's a prophet. He's sent from God. But that's what. But Peter, what do you say? What do you say? Who am I? Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the one of which every prophet has written, every prophet anticipated and waited upon. You're the Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, all the whole Old Testament. You're the seed of woman, the priest after the order of Melchizedek. You're the son of David. You're the root of Jesse. You're the Christ, and you're God Almighty. You're the Son of God." And our Lord said, "You're blessed. Now, he didn't finish. He said, you're blessed. Blessed are you. But flesh and blood didn't teach you that because flesh and blood didn't believe that. My Father taught you that. My Father taught you that I'm the Christ, the Son of God. 1 John 5:1, read it again. And everybody that believes that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God, taught of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat the Father loveth the Son that's begotten. Look back at my verse in 1 John 4. You are of God. You're born of God. You're taught of God. You're chosen of God. You're blessed of God. You're revealed. You're of God. You're of God, little children. You're of God. And you've overcome them. Who's them? Who's he talking about? These false preachers. You've overcome them. You've overcome. They don't deceive you. You're God's elect, and you can't deceive God's elect. The day's coming, he said, when there'll be so many signs and wonders shown that they'll deceive, if possible, the very elect. But it's not possible. You've overcome the evil. How'd you overcome him? With the Word of God. That's how you answer. When our Lord was tempted of Satan, he said, "You're hungry, 40 days without food. You're hungry. Make these stones bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, cast yourself off headlong. He'll give his angels charge over thee. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. It's written." That's how you answer. That's how. You've overcome these false prophets by the Word of God. Because, watch this, because greater is he that's in you. Who's in you? The Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit. We're born of the Word. We're born of God. You are of God. You've overcome these preachers. You've overcome them by the Word. But you've overcome them because the Spirit of God's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that Spirit of God has given you a light that can't be quenched. There's a light, the light of truth in here that the powers of hell can't put out. Our Lord said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't affect it." There's a light that can't be dimmed. There's a wisdom that can't be resisted. And I'll tell you, when a man knows he's called of God and sent of God, he's been taught the Word of God, he's not afraid of anybody. He's not trying to please anybody but his Lord. There's a wisdom no man can resist. There's a truth no man can deny. I didn't agree with you this morning. Well, I'm sorry. Evidently, I didn't agree with you either. But I agree with him. There's a life that'll never end. There's a hope that cannot be quenched. You have received the Spirit of God, and he's greater than that spirit of Antichrist. Verse 5, listen, they're of the world. These false preachers are of the world. They're natural men. They're born of the flesh. They're educated in the flesh. And they cater to and please fleshly men. False preachers are of the world. They seek worldly things. They seek worldly promotion. They seek worldly crowds. They seek worldly applause. They're covetous after worldly things. That's right. These false preachers speak of the world. He says, therefore speak they of the world. What do they speak of the world? They speak the wisdom of the world. They speak the wisdom that man's wisdom teaches. They speak of social reform and social correction and philosophy and intellectualism and doctrines that are suited to the taste of worldly men. They speak of the world. They're philosophers, they're psychologists, they speak about all these, they speak of the world. Health and wealth and healing and flesh and prosperity. That's their message. And look at that next line. And the world sure does like it. Oh, you just right down my alley, preacher, when you talk about how rich I ought to be and healthy I ought to be and prosperous I ought to be, and God wants me to be this, that, and the other. That just sure makes me happy, because that's what I want to be. I'm not interested in eternal life, but I'm interested in making as good as I can right here, because I sure like this place. You make it more attractive to me all the time, preacher. The world hears them. Well, the people of the world, they attend their meetings, they applaud their words, and with pleasure they support them. They are of the world. They speak of the world. That's their message. And the world hears them. Watch verse 6. We, Paul, John's talking about himself and every other true preacher. We are of God. We're chosen of God. You're chosen of God. We're called of God by the Spirit, by the Word. We're sent of God. We're taught of God. We're put in the ministry by God. We declare the gospel of God. And our gifts and power to preach is of God. And our understanding of the Word is of God. We are of God. And he that knows God, he'll hear us. And what I'm doing this morning cannot be challenged. I'm reading what this book says, going verse by verse. And the people that are of God, they're going to hear this. They're going to hear it. And that's not just with these ears. Everybody hears. I got a big enough mouth. Everybody hears me. But here's what I hear. Here's where they're hearing it. I was in a meeting 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a young lady I've known all her life since she was a little girl. But she'd been a rebel all her life. But the Lord conquered her. She's a married lady now, mother. And this is the first time I've seen her since the Lord saved her. And she came up to me at the service. She says, I've heard you preach a whole lot of times. Brother Henry, I heard you this morning. Oh, she said, I love that gospel now. The Lord saved me. She's there every service, just drinking at the fountain. Oh, we are God. And he that is of God will hear us down here in the heart. He who knows God. He that knows. How do we know God? We know God, not that we've ever seen God, but we know God in Christ as he's revealed in his word. We know God not professionally, but experimentally. There's a difference. I made a profession of faith when I was just a little child. And I professed to know God professionally.
So when I was 24 years old, I met him experimentally. Yeah. Come to know the living God. He knows God experimentally, in heart, having tasted that the Lord is good. He knows God. He knows his name. He that knoweth God, he knows his name. He recognizes his name. I know his name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rea, Jehovah my shepherd. I know his name. I know his grace. I know his love. I know his mercy. I know his glory. I know his forgiveness. I know his tenderness. I know him. His peace. Now he'll hear you. He'll hear you. But he that's not of God, he won't hear us. And see, this is the way you know the spirit of truth and error. When he talked about the preachers a while ago, he said, you know how you know a true preacher? He'll tell the truth about Christ. He'll tell you who he is. Without embarrassment, without compromise. And the man who is not of God, he'll deny these things by silence or some way. And another way you can tell truth and error is people who hear it. People who are born of God hear the truth. They rejoice in it. And the people who are not of God, they don't want it. They don't want it. Churches, there are many of them. Many of them. They built a whole lot alike. They all got windows and doors, and curtains and baptistries, and piano and organs, carpet. This doing remembrance of me. The churches all, and the men standing in the pulpit, and they got on blue suits and black suits, and some of them got white headed and some black headed, and they all got a Bible open in front of them this morning, all over this country. What's the difference? The message. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did he come into this world? What did he do when he came? Where is he now? That's the difference. And people who are of God, there's people here this morning have driven over an hour to get here. They passed 100 of those other churches, 100 of them at least. Why are they doing that? They are of God. They've got to hear the truth about their Lord. Got to hear it. Can't hear, can't stand anything else, can you? Don't want to hear. A sheep will drive a long ways for a field of clover. But it's got to be God's clover. It's got to be his green pastures. His still waters. That's the difference. And that's how you can tell truth and error. By the people that hear it. Not just by the man that preaches it. By the man who follows him. Hears him. That's what it says here, isn't it, Bob? It says that right there. Hereby you know it. Beloved, let's love one another. He returns to his theme of this book, love one another. Let's love one another. Love is of God. Love is of God. It's the commandment of Christ. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It's the evidence of a disciple. He said, by this shall all men know you, my disciples, if you love one another. It's the fruit of the Spirit, grace and love. It's the crowning grace. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, but this is the greatest. To love him, love his word, love his gospel, love his people, love his truth. Can a man be without love and be saved? No, sir. Can't do it. Read that verse 7 and 8 again. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God, and he that loveth not, he doesn't know God. He doesn't know God. God is love. And it's not this fleshly, emotional experience I'm talking about. I'm talking about love for God. And this is how it's manifested, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. He sent his only Son. He sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. That's the gift of God's love. He loved us. He sent his son because he loved us. I told you before, John 3:14, that's the remedy. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And verse 15 is the result, that whosoever believes may have everlasting life. But verse 16 is the reason. For God so loved, he gave. That's love. This is a manifestation of his love. He gave his son. He sent his son into the world that we might live through him. And here it is. Here's the definition of love. Not that we love God. We didn't love him. We did not. Not that we deserved it. We did not. Not that we are capable of repaying it. We cannot. Or emulating it. We can't do it. Beyond us. He sent his son because he loved us. Not that we loved God. He loved us. That's the reason God saved you. He loved you. He loved you. And sent his son to be the propitiation. What's that? That's an expiator. What's an expiator? That's the one who makes satisfaction. That's the one who appeases a holy God. That's the one who makes amends. That's the one who makes the right, the wrong right. That's the one who pays the penalty. All of it. The debt. Well, beloved, if God so loved us, we sure ought to love one another. That's the conclusion. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you. It was to me, and I pray it is to you. It's strong, but you know, the gospel is strong. It takes a great gospel to save a great sinner. It takes a great God to save a great sinner. And it takes a great operation of grace to save a great sinner. We're not playing games. This has to do with the character of God. Character of men, and the justice of God, and the righteousness of God, and the holiness of God, and the love of God. It's great. It demands the best we have.